Tom, how are you this Christmas Eve?
What was I supposed to say?
You're fa-la-la-la fabulous.
I'm fa-la-la-la-la. I'm fabulous.
Jesus.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special Christmas holiday special episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio and also on our YouTube channel for our Patreon subscribers. And also, we're giving people on Facebook a quick sneak peek at what people get to have access to when they sign up on Patreon and support the show. Anyway, we have a very concise and small show for you. So my name is Tom, and I'm always here with my co-host. One is missing today, but I have...
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And we're going to welcome you all to a very Christmassy special dish. That's right. So Chris is off today. He is, of course, away with family, and so we're not going to be able to all of us be in the same room, but we're here. We're committed, and we're going to bring you this very concise and small episode so that you guys can have something to sort of kind of get you through the holiday when you need some booze, you know? So, like, seriously. So, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. Had a really good night at work last night.
Yeah. It was busy.
It was very busy. I made some money. All for who came out and sang and tipped well.
Yeah, and supported karaoke.
Yeah, just kind of relaxing. I made some food this morning for the party I have to go to tonight, and
I can't wait to try it because I heard it's delicious.
Well, so. It's my first time making it, so.
Oh, so I guess I should be worried, huh?
I tasted it. It tastes good. It does. It tastes good. But it's just, it's like weird. When you make something that your parents always made for you, you're always like super judgy of it.
Yeah.
Because like.
Well, you also try to like put your own spin on it sometimes.
And I then don't. I mean, I guess I do, but I don't really. I mean, when I cook, I don't really like follow recipes. I just cook to taste. So I think it tastes really good. I just, I don't know. I'm also bringing it to somebody's house that is a cook or a chef. And so there's that.
Well, so, talk about pressure, right? So let me ask you, it's Christmas Eve, and you know, it's like, I love when Christmas comes because everybody gets into all these like different holiday cocktails. So what are we suggesting for this episode?
Oh my God, this week's suggested signature cocktail is the Holiday Spiced Negroni.
The Holiday Spiced Negroni. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us what's in it?
So this is one part Bombay Sapphire Gin, which Tom wouldn't drink, one part Martini and Rossi Risvera Special Rubiano. I don't even know what that is. I'm assuming it's some type of...
It's not a word.
No. And then half parts of Tawny Port and two dashes of Bitter Q bitters. And then you stir and strain into a large glass with one large ice cube as well. Express an orange twist over the top. Garnish with some fresh nutmeg. Serve and enjoy. So, yeah.
That sounds delicious, though.
It does sound really good.
I mean, I'm not a gin person. I typically don't, you know, usually do gin, but...
Gin tastes like Christmas trees.
Oh, they probably smell like one, too, but... You know, I do fake trees. Well, I don't do trees at all. But, you know, if I were to do a tree, it would be a fake tree. So I don't know what a real Christmas tree would smell like.
You've never smelled a real Christmas tree?
No.
Ever? You've never been in proximity of one?
No, but I've bought like candles and stuff that are supposedly smelling like, you know, like a tree. But no. No. None.
Huh.
I didn't even put up a tree this year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Don't kill me. Don't. I don't know. Maybe next year we'll put one in the corner here in the studio for, you know, just to make it a little festive. I'll let Nick take care of those decorations for you.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be a tree covered in rainbows.
Yeah, probably.
So, this sounds delicious. So we can...
You know, Pat went shopping, and so we exchange very, like, gifts, but, like, we don't spend a lot of money on each other because we don't have it.
And they live with each other, trust me.
Yeah. And this year, he bought this wrapping paper that has, like, glitter and rainbows all over it, and I'm obsessed. And then, like, the name tags are unicorns.
Oh.
I was like, ah.
He knows you.
Yeah, they're perfect.
I mean, typically if I'm going to spend something on a roommate, it's me flicking quarters at his head. But, you know, no, that's awesome.
Well, I don't want to say out loud what I got him, but it's like, I think this year for me, Christmas was more about like practicality, but also like funny.
Yeah.
So like I got two things for two different people that are like, you're just going to want to punch me in the face, but you're going to love it, but you're going to want to punch me in the face and then you'll laugh. So. Yeah,
punch her in her face anyway. Send her over next time so that when she comes back for the New Year's episode, she'll probably have a black and blue or something.
Most likely.
You know, it's decoration. It's like a badge of honor to go through that.
It's okay. I've got Bondo I'd put on it.
I'm sure. All right. So listen, like we said, we have a very short show for you today. So we're going to jump right into some stories that we have for you. Most of these are pretty happy stories or good news. And so we'd like to keep it that way, but we may not. You know, that all depends. So, Nick, why don't you kick it off with one of your stories?
All right. So this is really kind of cute and like just a community of people standing by a group of, a lesbian couple, I believe. Mm-hmm. So neighbors line the streets with gay pride flags after a couple's flag was stolen and replaced with an American flag. Now, them stealing the flag is the statement. Replacing it with an American flag, I don't know if that's like a Trump statement or what, but it's really rude and it's kind of sad to think about. You know, you're like, I made you fly a rainbow flag. Imagine if somebody came and replaced that or took it away.
Honey, if somebody took my rainbow flag off of my house, somebody's house is burning down.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's she shed is going straight down to the ground in freaking embers.
But so anyway, so what had happened after this, after the flag was stolen, their neighbors were like, well, this is ridiculous. So they went ahead and they bought a rainbow flag and flew it themselves. But then they started buying more and got not all of them, but a decent amount of the neighbors involved. And now what was one rainbow flag, which was removed, is now a street lined with rainbow flags, both in, you know, on the mailboxes, stuck in the yard, hanging on the front of the house. There's just a street full of rainbow flags.
So basically, it's Rainbowville, USA.
Yeah. So
and it's amazing.
So I'm moving there. But one of the neighbors said, which was really kind of powerful and beautiful to me. Frankly, I've grown weary of all of this hate. And I've got to say, it just seemed like there was one thing that I could do that I had control over. And that's what she did. She went out and bought rainbow flags.
That's awesome.
And got people behind it. And it's just like one of those things. It's like, it gives you hope. You know what I mean? It's like, if your neighbor, you live on a street full of neighbors and they always bring you things.
Now, where is this again? Do we know?
Barrington?
Is this in the U.S. or is it because I don't know. It's just like somehow I feel like this is something Canadians would do.
No, it's American. It was replaced by an American flag.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
But it doesn't say, it just says Barrington. I don't know where exactly. I mean, I know Barrington in Massachusetts, but I don't know exactly where else it would be. So all I have here is Barrington.
Okay, well, Barrington it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's in the U.S. because they're trying to replace it with American flags. So, you know,
Chicago.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, the act in itself, like you were saying, right? The act in itself is, you know, what were they trying to achieve by taking the LGBT flag and replacing it with an American flag? Obviously,
you know what they were trying to achieve.
The hatred is there, right? The fact of being bigoted and saying,
this is Trump's America.
Exactly. And, you know, to me, it's like the fact that the community came together and stood behind this couple and said, no, we're going to support. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I would hope that if something like that, because like I said, I'll be burning somebody's house down.
Mm-hmm.
If something like that were to ever happen to me, I would hope that although I know that some of my neighbors are Republicans and may have supported Trump, I would hope that they would see past that. And because I'm a good neighbor, I'm very neighborly. I talk to all my neighbors. I say good morning to everyone. I say good afternoon. And you know, for the most part, like I have a really good relationship with my neighbor next door. You know, well, duh. And then, you know, my other neighbors on the other side, although Republican, I don't know how they voted. They're fairly nice. And we have dogs in common. So they sort of kind of, you know, we do dog talk every so often. You know, my dogs try to kill their dog and, you know, their dog just sits there and barks at mine. So that's, you know, psycho Yorkies.
Yeah, that's what you have. Psycho but, Yorkies.
Yeah.
But I also think, too, like, Yorkies. You can be Republican and still support human rights. Like, you know, even if you voted for Trump, I still think that you can be a Republican that voted for Trump. If you still support Trump, that's another conversation, but that still supports human rights. Because at the end of the day, what is it? It's basic human rights. It's not just about the LGBTQ community.
Can I ask, speaking of Trump supporters, are you still, seeing that Trump supporter?
No, I haven't talked to him in a bit.
Oh, okay. Just, you know, wanted to ask.
No.
Because you know how we do that on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, the answer's no.
So, no Trump.
And it's not about Trump or not Trump. It's just about the fact that it's about the fact that I don't have the time.
Well, don't we all not have the time anymore? You know, it just seems like the older we get, time just keeps flying and just it flies at a rate, right? Because it was only like, what, 4 months ago? It seemed like it was January and it is literally about to be January all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm approaching the 1 year mark on my vehicle, which is...
That's insane.
Yeah.
Right? It almost seems like yesterday you just bought her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, oh, she's used and abused.
No, she's good.
Yeah. I mean, she's got a couple of more years of mileage in her.
She's got plenty. I barely put any miles on her.
Yeah, I know. You're like me. I barely drive my car anywhere, right? So it's like I have a 2012 FJ,
so
cruiser. And so it's 2012. In 4 years, it'll literally be 10 years. It doesn't even have 50,000 miles on it yet.
Can we talk about the fact that when we were coming back from DC and I stepped on that rail and it broke? So he has these metal railings. Well, had these metal railings underneath the car to step up into it.
Yeah, they were made out of aluminum for whatever reason.
They rusted.
They rusted because of that salt shit that they use on the roads up here in the Northeast.
Uh-huh. And I went to climb into the car on the way back from D.C.
It was really her fat ass.
Or was it on the way there? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But it literally fucking snapped. And I was like, what? And like, I slammed my leg into the car and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so fat.
She really had a complex for a long time. And I had to like sort of kind of reassure him that, you know, it wasn't your fat ass. It was the fact that it was rusty and it was already falling apart.
So. Yeah, but I still stepped on it and it broke off.
Yeah. I looked at my brother. I was like, listen, I'll give you $40 if you take that shit off because I'm not laying on the ground and I'm not going to go into that car to just unscrew anything.
Yeah.
And he did it. Mm-hmm. So, and they're gone. So that's that.
Yeah.
So what else do we have?
I think the next one's all on you there, killer. Oh,
all right. So listen, I'm super excited, right? Because when I was younger, right, back in 1999, 2000, A Queer's Folk was released, right? They had the British version, and then they also had the U.S. Canadian version that was supposedly, you know, based out of Pittsburgh, I think it was. And so... A lot of people don't realize that when Queer as Folk came out on Showtime, this was such a huge thing for the LGBT community because, you know, not often were you able to actually see something that sort of kind of in a weird way, right? Because not everything that they showed on the show is the actual gay life, right? It was obviously a story about, you know, gay men in a bar and all their promiscuity and you know, their complex relationships, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a lot of elements of that show that were just completely mind-blowing because this wasn't something that you were used to seeing in, you know, in television, right? And I knew I was gay. I mean, I knew that I had my friends at my local establishments and places where I could go and feel safe, but this wasn't something that was typically represented in television. And correct. So for me, it was very shocking. I was just like, wow, I can't believe that I'm actually watching this on Showtime and, you know, and that it's a thing, but it was. And so the show had its course. It sort of kind of ran for like a good
5 years,
I don't know, like 5 years. And then it went off the air and both in the British version and in the US version. But then, you know, the Advocate actually posted a story in where Queer as Folk may actually be getting a reboot by Bravo. And I'm like, you know what? this is awesome. And I think that it's awesome in the sense because it allows me to reminisce how I felt the first time I saw the show and how in your face it was and how different and how basically, you know, it's like you got to see things that, you know, you did, not all of them, I must confess, but I did. But you got to see things that we used to do representing yourself on the big screen, right? On a television, and make you feel good about it. Make you feel like, you know, that your stories are worth telling. And so for me, that was what I took from the show. And not only that, I mean, it just brought so much exposure to some of the things that, you know, we go through in life. Because, I mean, the show covered suicide. It covered a lot of really important issues, HIV. So, you know, I really talked about a lot of the things that were, you know, the community was going through at the time.
And it also gave you something to relate to when you never had it before in, like, mainstream media.
Of course. And so in that sense, I thought it was very groundbreaking. You know, and then shortly after that, the L word followed. And so, but anyway, Bravo is actually taking on the task of bringing back the show. According to a Variety report, the Bravo is developing a new version of the UK version of the show.
I've been cast in the show.
And she's going to be Trish, I hope. They better call him Trish.
Yeah, we'll see.
So anyway, it's based on three gay men in Manchester, England, portrayed by Aidan Gillen, Charlie Hunnam, and Craig Kelly. So basically, they're rebooting. They're rebooting. And I'm super excited because, again, as I said before, the first iteration or the second iteration in the U.S. was just completely groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. And
I actually met Randy Harrison on the blonde in the series.
That was the guy that played Justin.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I met him.
So cute.
So when I lived in Massachusetts, there was this bar called Rumpies. And
Rumpies.
Oh. And it was owned by a gay guy. And so it was like the gay bar in town, but it wasn't a gay bar.
Yeah.
And he would go there all the time when he was up doing work at, like, whatever, Williamstown or wherever. And I remember one night, I was staring at him. I'm like, I know you. He's like, do you? And, like, we were just, like, chatting. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's always cool, though, when you see someone out there. It's like, you remember the movie To Wong Fu, right?
You keep bringing this up to me. I've never watched it.
I'm taking his gay card. You have not watched Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar?
No.
Oh, my God. We're going to have a move-a-thon, a movie-thon or something.
We can just watch the one movie.
Yeah. Well, we can watch we're going to have to. So anyway, as part of the movie, there's a character in the movie that he stutters, and he works at the local clothing store shop. And where the drag queens go, and they find all these box 60s and 70s outfits and boxes up in the attic somewhere, and they're throwing them down. And she goes like, oh, this is chiffon. No, honey, this is mine. And so the kid stuttered. And so the actor who plays that character, the stuttering guy at the store, he was actually in town because they were filming a movie in Hamden. And they had casted a whole bunch of us gay boys to actually go in on the scene and do the dancing part, right? And we were dancing in silence, like literally, like, and we were drinking beers with no labels, and it was really hot in the house. There was no AC. It's the middle of summer. It was just like sweaty galore. But anyway, he was one of the actors playing in the movie. And so after that, we ended up just hanging out for like a week, and he would come out to the gay bars, and he was really fun. He was a good guy. So, but to meet people, right? Because I remember when I first saw him, I was like, wait a minute, you look familiar. And then I'm like, you're the stuttering guy from, you know, it's like, always remember them by the roles that they play. And he actually did a pretty good job. So we'll have to watch the movie someday.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, I'm super excited. It's coming back. And I plan to sort of kind of see what they're going to do with it. I hope that they really incorporate a little bit more. Because the first version of the show, although it was groundbreaking back in 2000, it was sort of kind of, you know, they weren't really about the drag scene. So they really didn't talk about drag queens. They really didn't talk about transsexuality too much. There wasn't much on the diversiveness that we have in our community. It was really about, you know, guys in bars and jumping around and having complex relationships. And I think there was a lesbian couple on the show as well.
There was.
Or two.
No, there was a lesbian couple that had a baby, mm-hmm, from the Justin's boyfriend, he gave his sperm to them.
Mm-hmm. And, so, I mean, they talked about certain things, but I feel like a lot of our community today, right, it's because we're all about inclusiveness and making sure that we try to represent as many groups as of our community. That wasn't the case back then, but, you know, it doesn't take away from the groundbreaking part of how groundbreaking that show was.
Yeah.
But I think that
it was also super hot.
Yeah. But I would, it was almost like what do you call soft porn?
Oh my God. And the one character's mom who worked at the restaurant, mm-hmm. super involved in his life. And she's just like, mom. And he's like, fine, honey. I just want you to have sex. Like,
she was, what was her name?
Oh my God. I can't remember.
But she was awesome. I really loved it. That was the guy that he was in love with his best friend. And that was his mom. The only two characters that I remember clearly was Emmett and Justin, because they were just so memorable. And Emmett was the one that started dating an 89-year-old man. And he like really fell in love with this man. And people were telling him, like, dude, you're just dating him for the money and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they were going on a trip. And then so they were on a plane. And so they decided they were going to go into the bathroom and try to get a quickie in on the plane. And so, you know how close... Sharon Gleese.
That was the mom. Sorry.
So, you know how small the airplane bathrooms are. So, they're in there and the older man is penetrating Emmett in the bathroom on the plane. And they're having sex and he has a heart attack and dies while he's still hard and inside him. And now they're stuck because
see that episode.
They're stuck in close proximity, so he can't get out. So he's got this dead man with his penis inside him. It was freaking epic. It was really traumatic for him. He went through it. I think that he handled it somewhat like Trish would handle it, very dramatically. And
I don't know what I would do.
But that's one of my memorable episodes from that whole series. Yeah, it's sometimes it was borderline hard, like softcore porn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With the sex scenes and
stuff. Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
So anyway, it's back. It's coming back. And I'm happy about it because, you know, I really would like to check it out. But I want to see more representation of other groups in our community. So
they have an opportunity.
Producers, do it right. You know, we're in 2018, about to go into 2019. We're not in 2000 anymore.
So we have one more story.
Yes. And I'll let Nicholas take this one.
Chris isn't here, but I'm going to have to say it. So meanwhile,
in Canada.
So we had talked about a while back that Justin Trudeau had made a formal apology to all of the men who, all of the adults that were arrested before they decriminalized same-sex activity in 1969. And that being said, what Canada is doing is they're actually minting a $1 coin.
That's awesome.
In commemoration of the end of the laws against homosexuality. So that'll be released in 2019. They're not giving us any images for it right now. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know who's on the coin, if anyone's on the coin, what the design is. But what we do know is that it is a coin specifically dedicated to the LGBTQ community, which is super exciting. And it was funny because earlier I was reading this article.
Makes me want to move to Canada.
Right. So I was reading this article earlier and I was sitting here and Tom was like, we should really try to keep this show light and happy. And I'm like, obviously, I've got a couple stories. And then I'm like going through everything and I was like, wait. Is there any good news in America? He was like, maybe you should start the show with that. I was like, no, I'll find something.
No, but I found it very funny because, you know, you're right. It's like lately everything that we have that's being thrown out in the news is just constantly, it's either very politically charged or really bad news. You know, forest fires in California. President Trump is having a meltdown in the White House. #NotMyPresident. But, you know, it's just, It's insane. So, you know, to see that, you know, there are other places on this earth that are actually doing meaningful things for our community, mm-hmm. that's absolutely fantastic.
And I mean, we've talked about it on the show, but I just want to reiterate that the apology from Justin Trudeau came with a $145 million budget. And that budget was to include compensation for LGBTQ former civil servants whose careers were sidelined and mm-hmm. or terminated because of their sexuality. Yeah. And $15 million of it for historical reconciliation, education, and memorial events.
Yes, I mean there's some sort of restitution that was negotiated. I don't think that would be anything that we would ever see here in the U.S.
Not now.
I wouldn't even say we would ever even get an apology. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man literally apologized on behalf of the nation to the people that were affected as a result of the laws that they had passed regarding homosexuality back in that area in that time.
You know what's funny? This reminds me. So this weekend I watched Ellen's Netflix special, her comedy special. It was actually really funny.
Somebody sent me a message. You have to watch it.
It was Mama Kim.
Oh, that's right.
So Mama Kim sent that, and I had just gotten back from shopping, and I was like, I'm just going to sit down and watch it. It's only an hour long, and I had dinner planned, so I was like, this is perfect. Then I'll shower and get ready and go to dinner.
See, Mama, we do read your emails.
Uh-huh.
I love her.
And at one point in the thing, she was like, what did she say? Oh, she was comparing homosexuality to, like, all of those pill commercials you see. Like, try lorazepam. And these are the side effects, and she would just list them all. And like, she's like, why don't they do one for gay? I mean, it should be one for gay. It should be like, all right, so have you ever felt attracted to the same sex? Do you think that you would like to be sexually active with the same sex? Maybe you should try gay. And I should know, because I'm one of the gays. And then she goes, side effects might include loss of job, loss of friends, loss of family. And I was like, holy fuck, Ellen, I can't believe you just did that. But it was so
good.
She's
awesome now, you know?
It was so good, but it's so true.
A lot of people don't realize that was her first love, the comedy, stand-up comedy. I mean, she's been a stand-up comedian all her life.
You know, she opens up so much in this comedy series. I didn't know about the... So, man, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to... When she first... Before she was famous, before she did... The reason she got famous, she...
When she had the mullet.
Yeah, when she had the mullet, she was dating this woman, and the woman died in a car crash.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And she was driving by the... She drove by the car crash, and she didn't know it was her girlfriend at the time. And so when that happened, Ellen was like, I didn't know what to do. I had a lot of questions and I had no money. So I moved into this basement apartment and it was so small and dank and dirty. And there were fleas everywhere. And I'm sitting in the apartment and all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, why the hell did God make fleas? Like, fleas are terrible. And then she was thinking to herself, she's like, but there's a reason for everything. She's like, I wish I could literally pick up a phone and just call up God and say, you know, just ask a couple questions, like, why did you make fleas? And she was like, in this process I used to write a lot, and I started writing this whole thing down in my head. And she said to herself, after getting it all down on paper, I'm gonna perform this in front of Johnny Carson. I think that's right.
At the time he was like the David Letterman of his time.
And she was like, and he's gonna call me over. And he's never, I guess, never done that at that point with a woman. And that's exactly what happened. I think it was 3 years later, she performed it, and he called her over, and that's what started her career. Mind you, a few years later, a decent amount of time later, she came out on her sitcom. Mm-hmm. And then during that, she lost everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? She didn't work for, I think, something like 3 years.
Yeah.
And then she was offered Ellen, you know, the new show. And it just goes to show you, like, the struggles that, like, you know, the LGBTQ community goes through and what coming out actually means. And she had the strength to do it, and she could have lost everything, but instead she became this amazing, amazing woman that helps so many people.
And that so many Americans love. Mm-hmm. I mean, they absolutely love her.
Yeah, she's really, I adore Ellen. And I mean, you gotta watch the comedy series, because it's just so
funny. And it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just really good. And you know what she did, which was something that I think is really hard for most people to do, is comedians tend to just kind of like go for the laugh and go for the gut, you know, the laugh, whatever.
Yeah.
This special, let alone was super funny, but it was poignant. It was real and it was heartfelt. And then it was funny. And it was like, you're talking about important, real things, but you're also making us laugh. And
which is usually the right way to do it, right? Yeah. You know, there has to be a way in where you can communicate your frustrations and where you can communicate what you're suffering from, but still have a really optimistic outlook in life and be able to actually survive, come out on the other end much better than when you went in. And that she has a very, very unique way of being able to do that, not only with her words and her joke, but also in life and how she conducts herself in public and on her show. And she's just overall a very, very well-rounded human being, you know, and I certainly appreciate her genuine ability to be able to make people not only understand what it is that we go through as a community, but also, you know, display, be an example by being married and being invested in her community. And of course, her love of animals. She loves animals and I love animals. And so we are kindred spirits that way. So,
And then before we move on and close out the show, so it's called Relatable, the special. And in the beginning of the special, she's talking to a friend and she's like, hey, I think I'm going to do a stand-up comedy special. And her friend was just like, really, Ellen, do you think you're still relatable? Because she's so rich and like, you know, relatable to the common person. And then she was like, oh, I don't. So, you know, he said that to me and it really upset me. So I called over to my butler and I said, is breakfast ready? Whatever. Then breakfast was ready, went over. And then I looked at him and told him I was really upset about the whole thing. And I said, can you draw me a bath or whatever she said, you know? And he was like, yes, I'll draw you a bath. And then she has her bath and then she gets out and she's like, ah, the towel. It's not there. The towel's not there. The butler forgot the towel again. And so she had to bath mat shimmy to the towel. And then when she's bath mat shimmying from the tub to the towel, she's like, oh, wait, this is relatable. We've all done the bath mat shimmy. Like, and then, but like,
that my house would probably start shaking, but yes.
It was funny though, because she was like halfway through the bath mat shimmy and she was like, and you can imagine how big my bathroom is. it was so funny.
She's great. Yeah. I mean, overall, she is a great human being. And
we all know I love her.
More and more people should aspire to be the kind of human that she portrays and she is every day. Because I think the world truly would be a better place. And mm-hmm. And her message of be kind to one another, in spite of all the craziness that's going on, really just, you know, it does go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So
she actually talks about that. And she talks about dancing in the show, too. It's pretty funny.
Oh. So in other words, go watch.
Yeah.
So anyway, so before we move on to our last two things that we're going to talk on the show, I want to again thank Dr. Evan Goldstein and the staff over at Bespoke Surgical.
Oh, yes.
For those amazing gifts. And of course, HelloTushy.com. Don't go to Tushy.com. Just do HelloTushy.com. Please do not go there. Anyway, thank you for these amazing bidets. I have been taking poops that I didn't even need to take just so that I can just sit on the toilet and have water spray on my ass. It is the best thing ever. Like, seriously.
Wow, Tommy.
What?
You're crass. I love it.
Yeah, but it's awesome. So, you know, I had in my last apartment, before I think we even started doing the show, I had already had a portable bidet and I knew what it was. And mine was like metal and it started, you know, rusting after a couple of years of use because it was metal. But this is actually pretty impressive. It's plastic. It's very well thought out, very well built. It, you know, pops in right into your lid so you don't have to replace your toilet. You know, nothing special that needs to be done. It's just something that you can add on mm-hmm. And connect it right to the waterline.
Yep.
But anyway, it's heaven. It's heaven. I have literally, like, I can take a serious dump. And
oh, my God.
No, but we're going to talk about, we're going to dump the reality of what it is, right? We're talking about shit. We all do it. It's something that we do every day. And I would go through a lot of toilet paper. And in the past 4 days of having my Hello Tushy, it's like amazing because really it's like all you need is just to set, sort of kind of dab and dry up.
Yeah. I have to be honest, though. Like, I love my Tushy. My Hello Tushy is amazing. Uh-huh. It's literally changed. It's changed the game.
Yes,
it has changed the game. But let's just talk about the fact that now I don't want to go to the bathroom without my Hello Tushy
anywhere.
So it's like, I have two bathrooms in my house. I've got one downstairs and one upstairs. And so every time I'm like, oh, I've got to go to the bathroom, I'm like, all right, got to go upstairs, go to the bathroom, because I want to use my Tushy.
That was my conundrum. I was at work today and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I have to go. And, you know, it's like, I try not to go in public spaces, but sometimes you just have to. And so thankfully I got there and it was just gas, but unfortunately, it's like, if I do ever go, what am I going to do now? Run home? I mean, I could, I'm 5 minutes away. I could run home and sort of kind of squirt up and make sure I'm fresh and then just go back to work, but it is life-changing. I mean, seriously, I'm super excited. We're going to be reaching out somehow at
some
point.
Yeah, we've already connected. Well, we've been connected, so hopefully we'll have them on the show.
Yeah, to have someone to come and talk about the whole, you know, premise behind it. And I remember that when we had, was it Bobby Edwards?
Yeah.
From the
Squatty Potty.
Squatty Potty Company.
Dookie. Hi, Dookie.
Hi, Dookie. Dookie's back there. You guys see him on the top of the TV? That's from Squatty Potty. So when we had, he talked about, you know, partnerships with certain companies, and I believe that HelloTushy.com was one of them. And so, yeah, I mean, this is such a great thing. Like, seriously, it's the best. So thank you to Bespoke Surgical, Dr. Evan Goldstein, and the staff there. That was an amazing, thoughtful gift for the holidays. And
I just say one thing, though?
Yes.
When you get it installed, I know you're gonna want to try it out before sitting down. And I know I did. And let me tell you,
I was
don't.
Smart.
Don't, because
it sprays right at it.
I like got aggressively sprayed by the toilet when I installed it. I was like, I'm in the bathroom. Obviously, my roommate installed it because you just don't trust me with things like that and tools.
No.
And he's like, all right, it's good. It's great. Okay. And he left. And I'm like, just like looking at him, playing around with it. And then I spray myself, and all Pat hears is, oh my God!
So it's got two functions, though, just so that you know. One of them cleans the nozzle, right? So you can switch it so that water runs over that little nozzle that sits under your toilet rim.
And when you say run, it's like, it's powerful.
It's powerful. So you connect it to the existing water line. It has this little adapter so that you can put the existing water line into that adapter and then the Tushy into the other connector on that same adapter. And so you're able to get water into the toilet bowl to flush, obviously, but also to use the Hello Tushy.
You know what I thought was really also great about it? When you get attachable bidets like this, generally you need like plumber's tape for a while until it settles in. They provided it.
Yeah,
it was great. I was like,
They give you a little kit with everything you need.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they don't bring pliers, but you know, but everything that you need is right in that box.
Yeah.
So it is life-changing. So again, thank you to the staff and Bespoke Surgical and Dr. Evan Goldstein for that wonderful gift. So that being said,
happy holidays.
Trish, why don't you tell us?
Yeah. So, all right. So, we're going to move into our Gay Talk term. And
which
on this
means
day,
we're closing the show.
Yeah. And on this day in gay history. So, this week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
No.
Christmas caroling. This is a parody of A Christmas Message. Gloria and Nick Chelsea's Gloria to God in the High. And what it means is testing out the new glory holes in town. So, Christmas caroling is testing out all the new glory holes in town.
Lord have mercy. I can see all the gays now going over to Route 80.
Talk about fa la 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 la.
Hello. Jingle bells.
Cut my balls. All right. So on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by UnicornBooty.com. That was a hot mess.
Yes, it was.
The Serbian parliament approves changes to the penal code when December 24th, 2012. One of these changes in the section is that sexual orientation, gender identity are protected classes when it comes to hate crimes.
That's awesome. So I will be honest and confess that when I first was reading our notes and I got to this particular On This Day in Gay History snapshot, initially when I read it, I was like, Serbian parliament approves changes to penis code. And I'm like, no, wait. And I'm looking, no, that's penal code. But yeah, my mind was somewhere else. Anyway. All right. So all of you on Patreon, thank you so much. And on Facebook, you're enjoying this little preview. It's Christmas. We felt like throwing it out there. But this is the reason why. If you love our show, you can make sure to rate and review our show on your favorite podcasting service, which allows you to help ensure that the show becomes visible to others in our podcasting community. By subscribing to the show, you get all of this, the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device or your web browser. And you can also support us on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows you, all of our listeners, to actually help us here on the show with a monetary donation. Those donations can be anywhere between $1 all the way up to $10. Or any amount that you want, really. We collect those donations every month, and we're super appreciative because they do help and allow us to actually bring you the show every month. So thank you to our supporters, and we welcome new ones.
And next week, we record on good old New Year's Eve.
That's right.
Join us before the festivities. And thank you again for your continued support throughout 2018, and we hope to see you in 2019. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, and happy whatever to everybody.
That's right.
So should we put a rubber on them?
Did you buy the rubbers at CVS?
No, but luckily I have.
You have a spare in your wallet? I'm proud of you, girl.
Don't leave them in your wallet, though. They tend to break. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episode. It's also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Thank you, girl. All right. If you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website where you can click on the Contact Us tab, which allows you to actually leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host, which is typically Chris. And you can also call us and leave us your question via voice message. We can answer those questions for you. And that phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. But if you need all the digits, like sometimes I do, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access our audio live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com/livestream. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you all a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you for joining us, and that is our very short show.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.